everybody, welcome to Talking Games with Tim and Clayton. I am one of your two hosts, Tim Dunn. That is my co-host,
Clayton.
Clayton, how are you doing this
morning? I'm so good.
Nice.
So good.
It's been
a great day.
Why? You were playing some Titanfall.
I was playing some Titanfall.
Bother your roommate to let us in because you were playing Titanfall.
I was busy, man. Nah, that's the main reason.
joining us today on this journey is our good friend John Forsyth. Thank you for being on the show.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
So we always start out the same way, and that is, what are we playing right now? John, do you play games?
No, I don't play games. Why am I on this podcast?
Not even like cell phone, like mobile games or anything?
See, that's the thing, yes.
Gotcha.
And I think that's probably a big theme for today is that I often say, oh, I don't play games, but then when I was going through in my history of video games, I'm like, I have a history of playing video games. And even though I don't buy, you know, console games,
sure,
I will play stupid games on my phone or
right.
Flash games online. So
those are very addicting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's false for me to say that I'm not a game player. I do play games.
So are you playing anything, say, on your phone right now?
Yeah, Quiz Up. It's an app.
Oh, I've heard of this.
It's a trivia game where it's super slick and awesome, and you play other people online, or on the internet, different trivia things.
Nice.
And there's like, seven rounds per each thing, and you get points and stuff like that, and there's achievements, which makes it a very much a video game type of thing. I've been going through and getting all the achievements I can get, and I'm a big, very addicted to geography quizzes.
Oh.
I'm also, I play trivia games on this site called Sporkle.com.
Oh, yeah.
And that's super fun. That also has achievements, and I nice. Go after those like ridiculous. Yeah, but that's what I... Oh, and there's this other online game. The game is called 2048 Game. It's on some weird obscure site, and it's like this 4x4 box.
Oh, yeah.
It's all the numbers.
You have the numbers, and it starts off of 2, and if you put 2 together, it's a 4. Mm-hmm. 4 goes to 8, 8, 16, and up 2. And
then another number shows up every time you connect, right?
Every time you merge them, it goes double that number. And randomly in the thing, a new,
yes.
new box will come up.
Right.
Either it being 2 or a 4. As you're trying to get up to 2,000.
Yeah, I did not get anywhere near that when I played.
Yeah, I was really bad at that. It turned out.
I looked on us half on about it was on Reddit, and people had their there's a thread about like how to beat this game, like
yeah.
what algorithms that people use, and and so I saw like someone had a really helpful hint of like use only 3 of the. Up, down, or left, or up,
oh.
upright, left, down. Those 4 arrow keys. Only use 3 of them primarily, and eventually you'll be fine. Oh. So I've beaten it a couple of times. Even though I've beaten it, I'm like, I have to
sure.
keep coming back. So that's what I've been playing lately.
Of course, Clayton, what have you been playing?
Titanfall. A lot of
solely.
I tried playing some more Alpha Protocol. Which I did tell you.
Between
I was
these
to
two
play
games,
that.
Clayton, I think
what?
You picked the right one too.
What you don't think Alpha Protocol is a good game? I agree because I played some more of it.
Listeners, Alpha Protocol is take Mass Effect's dialogue tree and then put it to like a thriller sort of spy
like,
thing.
Yeah,
right?
Like 24.
Yeah,
but with like way more one-liners.
I hear the combat is weird. Is that
the combat's not great?
Yeah.
I kind of get what they're going for, but it just straight up does not work.
It was like $5 at GameStop, and I was like, you know what? I'm gonna pass on this one.
Yeah, no, that's an okay call. I was playing it, and there was like this boss fight that was just like straight up broken, and that's where I was like, you know what? I think I'm out because it was like this girl and the deal, like because the whole thing is you kind of choose your path. Like, do you want to go stealth? Do you want to go this way,
right.
that way? Turns out stealth is completely fucking useless in boss fights because like even if you like do the move where you disappear, you're gone for like
still
3 seconds,
oh, yeah, yeah.
and then she'll immediately see where you are, even if you're like sneaking around. So
yeah.
it's like okay. Fuck this. Like, I was like, I built out my stealth character having fun doing that, and I was like, oh, I guess I did it wrong.
Right.
And I got very upset. And also I noticed every time your character gets killed, his feet turn into giant, like, blobs, which is just a coating thing. Like, it's just a bad fucking, oh, man. And I was like, okay, kind of fuck this game, like, kind of forever.
So how great is Titanfall?
Titanfall, still great.
Yeah.
I've been playing a bunch of it, and there's something, like, to be said for just, like, the fact that I guess it's, like, kind of killing Call of Duty and Battlefield right now.
Oh, sure.
Just, like, everybody wants to play this game, and it's really, really fun, and it's one of the few games where it's, like, I lose, and I'm like, that's okay. Like, I don't care.
So it's like Halo, where you're, like, a guy
mm-hmm.
in some sort of alien world trying to shoot other people?
Well, yeah, it's all online, okay. And you're all Titan pilots, and Titans are these big, like, mechs.
Oh, okay.
So you can, and your mech will land, and you can just let it go autopilot and fight some dudes for you. Usually it gets killed pretty quickly if you do that. Or you can, like, jump onto it and actually pilot it. You can jump onto your friend's mechs, and, like, jump off of them. You get, like, a little boost. Or you can stay on them and, like, shoot guys who are trying to jump onto it and, like,
I think it's called
rodeo.
Yes.
If you rodeo an enemy mech, you can start shooting into the core directly and kill it, but that guy will jump out immediately and shoot you off.
Yeah.
It's just every move has like a counter move.
So you can jump
really
out
fun.
Of your mech and...
At any time.
Oh, that's...
And it'll go into autopilot mode and like follow you around or guard a location if you prefer to do that. It's really, there's a lot to it and it's really fun. And really satisfying. Like, I keep finding stuff like, oh, you wall run and do crazy, like, double jumps and stuff like that as a pilot, just, like, without the mech. So you're really mobile and you really move around fast, which makes it really hard to kill each other.
Is there an element, I'm not familiar with mech games at all, is there, mm-hmm. do you keep upgrading as you're going along, or do you keep with your same mech suit?
You can change your mech around. There's only two chassis currently, like the big one and then the smaller, like faster one. And I think what's interesting about that is that it's like most of those multiplayer games, it's like the more matches you play, the more stuff you get that you can customize a little bit. But all of it seems to be like, there's no like best weapon or anything like that.
Okay.
Right. It's all dependent on your playstyle. Like I'm super not precise on this game because people move around so fast. So it's like, I need like big bombs and like, I set a lot of traps. What I like to do is like, throw like a mobile like explosive device, it's called like a satchel. I'll throw that against a wall, then go around the corner and like pop out for a second, then run back and guys will run after me and I just blow them up.
Oh, that's cool.
It's really, it's super satisfying, really fun game, and I can't say enough good stuff about it because I'm still playing it. I hate multiplayer stuff.
And there's no campaign, right?
There is. It's really weird because you're playing the campaign and there's just voiceover of like what's going on as the real people are doing the mission. So it doesn't matter if you win or lose in your campaign fights, and those are all multiplayer too. So you're like always the distraction. You're always like the guys on the ground like, all right, we're going to distract them while the important characters go plant the bomb or whatever. Huh. And it's like, and then the other team's like, all right, we're going to stop them from planting that bomb. And it's like, no, you won't. Cause like, I know how this plays out. Like, it doesn't matter what we do.
Does that mean there's a plot?
Kind of. It's pretty shitty.
Sure.
And I could not care less about it.
So it seems like no matter what you do, the plot advances.
Exactly.
So is that enjoyable?
Not really. Like, the plot side isn't enjoyable
at all. It seems like this is just straight-up gameplay, right?
It really is.
Okay.
Yeah. It's all about just the multiplayer matches, and the plot stuff seems real tacked on. Just like, well, we'll give you, like, a reason that you're fighting this other group. It's like, I don't care. No one cares.
Like the movie Gravity.
Take that.
Take that, Gravity.
Boom.
Take that, Oscar-nominated Gravity. Ha-ha.
George Clooney could have just pulled himself back on that rope. That made no sense.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's tension. Not in space. No. You're fine. You don't have to let go. You're all right.
If he stopped, he'd be fine. As for me, I finished Fatal Frame 2, which was this game I downloaded a while ago and got to. Boy, I did not care for it. It's a survival horror game where you play this Japanese schoolgirl going around with a camera taking pictures of ghosts that are trying to hurt you. And, it is just very, it is unnecessarily sad, not even dark, like it's like, Resident Evil-y Silent Hill dark, it's whatever, But it's just like, all the endings are bummers. I only stuck around for one, but I watched the other and I was like, I don't want this to happen to these schoolgirls.
Oh.
Wait, sad as in like, just everybody dies?
Yeah,
like,
kind of. Yeah.
I hate that.
Okay, from there I thought it was like sad and like, oh, horrible, evil.
Kind of
dungeon era gross things happen.
It's like
with octopuses or something like that.
It's like no more hopeful than a Dark Souls ending.
Okay.
Yeah.
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 But not like a tearjerker. I thought you meant like family.
Oh god, no.
It's like, why would they throw that in there?
So yeah, I don't recommend that one. And then I started to get into the other random game I downloaded a while ago, which was Harvest Moon.
Oh, yeah.
Back to Nature. And I did start playing it, but then I was like, what am I doing? Like, there's something about high definition, like solid graphics games where I can still excuse it. Like, I know I'm not doing work or writing stuff or whatever. This is still okay for me to do. But when I was like planting seeds, I was like, Tim, we can't, like, we can't play Harvest Moon. I'm sorry.
I've given you every opportunity to prove to me that you're an adult. God, that's crazy.
I have a question for you guys. So what takes for you to, like, check out a new game? Like, you just said, oh, I've downloaded these two new ones and I started playing. Like, were you being recommended by friends or?
With those specific games, one was a survival horror game, one was a simulator, I guess you'd call it. And I just hadn't played that type of game in a while. Like, it's like liking a, wanting a, having a specific craving for a certain type of food.
Okay.
Like, you have your basic games that you go to. Like, mine are, like RPGs and 3D action adventure. But every once in a while, I like to do like a Civilization or something like that.
Okay.
And so that's what that was.
Okay.
But in terms of new games, I would say like studios I trust or, games that are reviewed really well.
Oh, okay.
Part of franchises I love.
Yeah.
Because right now I'm getting this sense that it's kind of like a famine right now. People are like just kind of biding their time before like the next big thing happens. So like, I'll check out this game I didn't have time for or something.
Yeah.
Like
oh, before, yeah, before they really switch over hardcore to the new consoles. Yes.
It's a real, yeah, it's really sparse out there right now. And a big part of that is this is just generally kind of a bad time for games. Like, I think it has to do sort of like with Oscars. It's like after the award season.
Holiday season's the best.
Yeah.
You know?
Gotcha.
And so January and February, like I remember when, BioShock Infinite came out like last January and everyone was, or I think it wound up being February, late February, but, everyone was like, oh shit, it's coming out after the holidays, which is normally a really bad time for games, so everyone was really excited about it.
Okay.
Because it was like, oh wow, this game's gonna be like the thing we get in the meantime.
Yeah.
And that kept getting pushed back, which was a pain in the ass.
I wonder how they feel about the summer, because two things. Kids are home, but then also people want to be outside more.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, no, it does feel like after the holidays usually like where they dump the stuff though.
Yeah, that's where you get just a ton of garbage. And the consoles they kind of pushed out really quickly for the holidays, but no good games were out yet. And still, I mean, Titanfall is on the new consoles. And it's probably
And Infamous Second Son seem like they're the only worthwhile titles,
which just came out.
Yes, right.
Like, I doubt I'll pick it up because I don't have a PS4.
It's not a reason to buy a console yet.
Yeah. Last year was when I really got into high gear as far as watching games, and I don't think I could have done any better as far as BioShock Infinite The Last of Us. That was like, as far as like
it's a great year for games.
For me, for watching games on YouTube, it was like a pure joy.
Yeah, so let's get into it. The reason why we wanted you to come on and talk, because you do something I do, which is just watch the plot of a video game on YouTube.
I love watching gameplay. It's so great. I got into it a few years ago, procrastinating to study for I'm in grad school right now, and instead of studying or doing work, I decided to watch Portal 2 gameplay.
That's
and
a good one.
That was specifically because, like, it's a puzzle game, and I know that, like, I would not have the patience to try to figure out, like, how to, like, where do I put the orange one, where do I put the blue one, how does this work? this is frustrating me. I'll throw my controller on the wall and then give up. I'm that type of person. I'm very, something about video games brings out the temper tantrums that I used to have as a kid. I had a bad temper as a kid, and yeah, still to this day, if I play, like a few years ago, they released some really old NES games online where you can play them. Like, so it was RBI Baseball, and if you're familiar with RBI Baseball, is if you hit a home run, the next time the computer's up, they will hit a home run, and it's just—it's such a vindictive code that I got so frustrated. I smashed my keyboard, and one of the keys popped out on my laptop. But thankfully, it went back in. But I'm like, this reminds me. Even though you know I'm in my 30s, I cannot handle these games sometimes.
That's hilarious.
So because of that, I was like able to, and I heard that Portal 2's story was pretty cool, so I started watching it, and I was just blown away by the graphics and the story, and the comedy too.
One of the best written games, for sure.
And so it was super, super enjoyable. I mean, it ended up being like a marathon session where I'm like 8 hours into it, and it's like, 7 in the morning, I've been doing it all night, and I haven't eaten, and I'm feeling I have to pee and eat at the same time. So I'm like, no, I have to watch another episode, another 12-minute episode of this playthrough. That's how I got into it, and then I've been periodically, when I hear a lot of talk about a certain game, I'll invest into watching the gameplay.
So you don't do, like, cutscene to cutscene? You'll watch, like, gameplay and everything?
I don't really know exactly how. I mean, certain YouTube people who do gameplay will do certain cut plays, and some people will do it for, so there's, like, 20 minutes, type of thing, or they'll do a whole full thing. Sometimes I like to listen to commentary, and sometimes I don't.
I feel like that would bother. I don't know what it is. I guess it depends on who's.
When I first got into it, the only people that were doing it was this guy named the Rad Brad. The Rad Brad. He's just a video game player. He plays stuff, posts online. He has a huge following. When I watched Portal 2, it was neat, because like it was interesting to him to be like, I played this, because he played it before, and so that he would be able to play it, record it faster. He's like, it'd take him like half hour to figure something out, and then you'd play it, and it's like, it takes him like 11 minutes or something like that. And I think for Portal 2, it was like each level or whatever it was a video. That was fine.
Could you just take a brief tangent?
Sorry.
Oh, not at all. I was just gonna comment. There are people who make money on these channels, right? Like, that's their day job.
Yeah, people who, if you have a certain amount of followers on YouTube, you get paid by YouTube.
That is unbelievable. I'm not jealous. Like, I don't wanna do that for a living, but that is crazy. That's not a job we could have ever assumed would be a thing when we were kids.
Right.
Yeah, I get the sense that, that people who do this, they play, and especially if they do commentary, they let themselves open to a huge amount of comments of people being like, you're an idiot, you're stupid, you're gay, all that type of stuff. To one point where like someone on a subreddit of Reddit had to like, I'm out. Sorry, you guys are the deluge of just bickering.
Right.
Of this free thing that I'm giving to you. Was this too much for his psyche that they would have stress dreams about it? It just seems like, is it really worth it type of a thing? Yeah, but there's people, and there's people who do it, and there's like associations. Like, I remember when I got done with BioShock Infinite, I'd watch their 3 out of 4 had, or 2 out of 4 had finished it, but then they decided to record their reactions to the ending.
Oh yeah.
So they're like a little screenshot, but I get to see them playing it, and then while actually I was playing, and so I guess their listeners wanted to know how they reacted to it type of a thing.
Yeah. That's great.
So certain ones I like to listen to, for BioShock Infinite, the Rad Brad I also listened to, but I got pissed off at him because, I don't know, it was just, he kept on playing, and it was just, like, taking freaking forever. It was just, like, explosion, explosion, explosion. Sure. Beat up this guy, shoot his thing, get some juice, throw some stuff at them, ride the rails, couldn't figure out where he is to get to the thing. And he was doing some commentary that was really stupid, and I'm like, I fucking hate this guy.
The rad bread.
And so
turned the corner on.
So then right after that, I watched The Last of Us, and, I decided I need no commentary. So I went, to MK Ice and Fire. And that was super bliss, because it's like you really get to just watch someone play it, you know. And especially with The Last of Us, that's the type of game where you kind of need silence. You need to really get into the environment
right.
that you're in too.
Let me ask you this. So video game movies have been categorically horrible. Largely, like, there aren't really good video game that are direct from the game to a film. But I feel like you're saying you found entertainment in watching, like, the game itself.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. What do you think? What ones have worked or not worked? Or what do you think it is about some of them, or why it's entertaining to us? I mean, it's still just good storytelling at its core.
It's good storytelling to its core. They have the ability to, you know, do anti-Hollywood endings.
True, yeah.
They have,
Much longer stories.
Yeah. They have a freedom to really, you know, delve out and get the backstories for characters and stuff like that. There's user control, because, like, at certain times you can be like, well, I'm gonna take a break and, like, come back to it a week later of a thing. Well, like, I'm sure, like, anyone who's playing the game can do the same thing, too, you know? And because there are chapters and whatnot, and levels, it's a little bit more manageable where it doesn't seem like a throw off. Like, if you're watching a movie, if you stop in the middle of it, that's not what it was meant for. It was meant to see, you know, in a two-hour thing with a certain pacing that the director and the editor set up so that, like, if you pause in the middle and come back to it, the next scene won't have as much impact because how you're supposed to feel is led up to it. I'm in school for film, and that is a big thing. It's like,
oh, sure.
You know, so with levels, it's a little bit easier to
like go away and
come back.
Because it wasn't necessarily like this level leads into this level.
Right. And I don't think video game programmers or writers are necessarily thinking, all right, you know, this person's been playing for, you know, 4 hours straight. Now is the perfect time for, you know, this thing to happen, because they don't have any control over people go to the next level type of thing. So the writing structure is a little bit different.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, the checkpoint system, a lot of the time it's like, okay, big climactic thing just happened, now here's a checkpoint, this is the perfect time to take a break.
Or
it's like back to home base.
Yeah, or in some of those survival horror games, like, you'll find a room with a ton of items, and you can just relax in for a few minutes.
Yeah. That's usually where it's like, okay, I think I'm good to stop for now.
Yeah, but then you know, like, you'll walk, and maybe there'll be a cinematic thing, and then boom, you're right back into it again.
Mm-hmm. That said, there are some times where I've only experienced this recently, was I watched a game that was, like, kind of hyped up, and I watched it, and I'm like, oh, it wasn't so great.
Which one?
It was Beyond Two Souls.
Ah, Tim!
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. I'm a big supporter of the Quantic Dream guys. I liked Heavy Rain. I enjoyed Beyond Two Souls. Let's get into it, though. I can understand watching it would not be that entertaining. I totally get it.
I haven't watched or played it.
The whole game is about choice and, like, from my own playthrough, like, I messed up in this one level. There was a burning building, and I got hit and like I failed some jumps or whatever, and this burning log fell on me, and then the main character, Ellen Page, we'll call her, goes into a coma, and there's this whole coma level that you never would have experienced had you passed the like burning building level. So like the plot is not that great. I totally understand.
Yeah.
But I like the like cinematic experience of that game.
It was a great concept with horrible execution. I even like the structure of it, because like in cutscenes they show a little this wavy band, which is the timeline of the character, and the chapter shows up on that timeline, so you get an idea of like, oh, now chapter 9 is in between this point and this point, so I get an understanding of the character. And the character starts off when she was like 7 or something like that, and then finishes when she's like 20.
Something like that.
I kind of like that, where you go like, oh, so this thing that was hinted at, we're now gonna maybe see type of a thing.
But there are whole segments that are completely over the top.
It's so bad.
Yeah.
and then watching the finale, it was just like, ugh, it was so bad. And the thing about it is like, so you're this character, this woman who, since childbirth has had some weird ghost entity physically tied to her, where if the ghost goes too far, it's like some sort of tether, and tether can't be broken type of a thing. And if it goes too far, if there's a certain amount of pain that the main character feels, I think, if I'm right.
Yeah, there's a limit to how far Aiden can go.
Right,
yes.
Yeah. And It's neat, and Aiden gives her, you know, telekinesis teleportation.
And can take over people's bodies.
Or can physically move objects by pushing them type of thing.
Yeah.
Kind of like the ghost, like, push, if you will. it's neat. It's a neat concept, and so the underlying theme is like, the question is like, why is this entity tied to her? And the revelation at the end is...
Hold on, spoilers for Beyond Two Souls. Skip ahead a couple minutes. Go ahead.
Is that it's her brother who died in womb.
They were twins.
The thing is like, they were setting up this idea that, like, Aiden was on the other side of life and death.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of very, almost kind of like a Cthulhu type of a thing,
yes.
Where like there was these other beings, like this other world type of a thing, and that he was...
Which is the afterlife, right?
Right, yes. Right. Which he, I don't know, I was kind of hoping more for like a supernatural kind of like, he was just the other world twin, and for whatever reason in complications and birth, he was stuck on this world.
Mm.
And so that, I was hoping that we would get to see that world, or because it felt like also the danger is like when they're opening these portals, it's like this evil is going to come in,
right?
So I'm like, oh, the evil are like these Cthulhu monsters type of thing coming in, and it's like,
and
no,
you're disappointed.
No, it's just dead people
who can kill you.
Who can kill you?
Yeah, yeah.
But why? Who gives a shit? And it was, and then it's like you're dead, and then there's like some weird cutscenes, like there's like, oh, there's this possibility, this possibility. We don't give a shit about the possibilities of a different endings, but it basically it's kind of like, and nothing really happened. Aiden's still connected to you, but eventually he
true,
he,
yeah,
he,
yeah.
And it's like, well, then it should have been like, oh, and now it ended, and now the server's it's broken, and now he's back in his home world, and you're fine, and you finally have silence. No, that's not the choice the writers made.
I wonder if you would be into Heavy Rain. Have you watched that one?
No.
Write that one down. It is a similar style, but I wonder if you would enjoy the plot of that one a little better.
Is it?
It's about serial killers.
Is it R-A-I-N or like Rain?
Yeah, R-A-I-N.
Not like Blood Rain.
Both of them have supernatural elements that don't come to fruition.
Okay.
In the end. I know they're bad for me. Not bad for me, but
bad for you.
There are better games, but Quantic Dream, for some reason, I just love the choice-making element of it. There was another thing in Beyond Two Souls that really bugged me that I forgot to talk about when we actually talked about it. There was a point where you meet your mother, and your mother is essentially, like, catatonic, or, like, she's
Oh, that's right. She's in, like, an insane asylum.
Yes.
That she went, like, she just went insane and also kind of a catatonic because she was also, like...
She was on life support.
And died with, like, powers or something like that, right? Oh. Or it's almost like the plot of it is Firestarter, where, like, some weird government project has made it so that, like, the super awesome sperm goes into these super awesome people, and it makes these super soldiers. Because she's also, like, she's basically a government project, and she can never have freedom.
Yeah. So she visits her mom. They've given her some drug to shut down her powers or whatever.
Right.
And she's just sort of a brain dead vegetable at this point. And you can choose either kill her or let her live. And I killed her because I thought that was the humane thing to do.
Right.
That's like,
right.
I believe in euthanasia. Like, if somebody doesn't want to be alive, okay. Yeah.
Right.
And then the, like, at the end, when you're looking at living or dying, that's sort of the choice you have. Killing your mom is held against you in terms of, like, points.
Oh.
Like, there's a point system in terms of morality in the game. And I thought that was a really fucked up
thing. Yeah.
So you think it was right to kill your mother? Jesus, Tim.
Wait, that's insane. Wait, why is the morality point?
I don't know.
It's poorly written. And it's also, like, a bastardization of so many... of types of plots we've seen before. I mean, Firestarter is a huge ripoff of the movie Hannah is also very similar, like some government project and someone type of thing. It's I don't know, for me, because I don't play that games that often.
Mm-hmm.
I'm mostly I've seen TV or movie plots, and to me this was like a rehashing of tons of things that I've seen before, and nothing really new came out of it. I was hoping the new thing would be this entity, Aiden, and then the choice by the writers severely let me down.
Hmm. What were some of your favorites that you've watched?
Oh, so The Last of Us, Bioshock Infinite, and Portal 2. So they're basically the only ones I really have checked out.
Now, I watched Bioshock Infinite. I gotta say, it is great. It's well written. Also, terribly difficult to understand what is going on at times.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, even with the Voxaphones, because I played it recently, and I had already watched all the cutscenes, I don't know that I would have picked up everything just from playing through it.
Right. I feel like the guy that I watched do it, the Rad Brad, he did a good job of going to most of those boxes and seeing things. So I got an understanding of, like, the backstory of the different characters, of Booker, Comstock, Daisy... Robert and Rosalind. I get an understanding of what's going on type of thing.
I felt that same way. When I played through it, I explored everywhere. I looked at everything, read everything. Because I, like, basically people had gone online and said, this is how you have to play this game. And I was like, okay.
Sorry, did you feel like you got it?
I did. Okay. I actually, because my thing was always like, oh, I bet I'm a step ahead. And then they'd be like, here's the next thing. And I'm like, oh, shit. They didn't even give me the, like, which I liked. It's like,
kind of like get studying, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you figure it out, and then rather than have that moment of like, this is that thing you figured out, they'd be like, here's another thing, and that's like, oh shit.
Yeah. It's very convoluted because it's like, here are all these players, and they seem to be all against each other, and it's like, wait, then whose side is what type of thing? And it's kind of very much boss level in its structure, which to me seems kind of convoluted.
Yeah, it's that kind of messy, you know.
It's super,
like,
messy, you know.
Who is who? Whose relationship is with whom? Right. I thought that was kind of cool, though. I was like, the fact that Daisy Fitzgerald, it's like, we get a little bit of her, and then the more we find out, it's like, oh, shit. Like, she's not good. She's not a good person. Like,
when I was writing
down... Daisy Fitzroy.
Yes.
Yeah. When I was...
the Rebels, right?
Writing down the character stuff between The Last of Us and Bioshock Infinite, I was like, oh, wow, the resistance, Daisy or Marlene, they're both African-American women, and, you know, the protagonist mm-hmm. is Joel or Booker, is a guy with a female tag-along type of a character, both in this really weird world.
And it's both a father-daughter kind of relationship.
Yeah, very much so.
Real, a lot of similarities, like, I mean, people, historically hate, like, having to do these bullshit babysitting, like, escort missions.
Yeah, yeah. I get the sense of it. There's a lot of commentary on the things I've read about, like, oh, I hate these people who don't do anything.
I've stopped games, sometimes because of them.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess the consensus I've seen online is that Ellie was probably the best companion because at some points she actually starts helping you and then you also get the player, you know, at certain points.
You never really worried. Oh yes, Ellie's great and helpful. I was going to say about Elizabeth in BioShock Infinite.
Ellie and Elizabeth.
Yeah, I got confused there for a second.
I never really figured out it's similar. Their fucking names.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Both of them, it never felt like I had to worry about that.
Yeah, and then the fact that Troy Baker voices both the main characters.
God, that guy's had a great couple of years.
Yeah.
Good lord.
I think he was the Joker.
He was the Joker in the Batman.
So yeah, for BioShock Infinite, I really enjoyed, just because of the ending was so interesting, the idea of that, since we were playing with time, the idea of the ultimate choice that would help everything out is to kill yourself off, you know, and that, I think feel oh, like that yeah. all that you are Comstock is kind of like oh I don't know, it seems a little forced, but at the same time it's kind of a neat thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
That loop, you know.
Let me ask you this, we've been talking about this a little bit in the past few episodes, they're making a Last of Us film.
Yeah.
Do you think that's doable?
I think because they have the writer, the creator of Last of Us mm-hmm. on board writing it, I feel like it has the best potential to be successful. Because they're not asking, like, some other person from, it feels like more like is it Red Dog? Naughty Dog. Since they have the reins as far as the story, I feel pretty confident that they'll hopefully do a good job with it. That said, I almost feel like with video games are similar to books, where like they might be better off of doing a, you know, an 8-part series on HBO or Showtime or type of a thing. You know?
Yeah, that's very true.
I'd watch that, The Last of Us in 8 parts.
Right? Oh, yeah,
definitely.
I mean, I feel that, you know, The Orange Is the New Black and True Detective lately are showing that like. Okay, we have a certain arc, and people are able to invest, you know, 7 to 8 hours into a certain thing to get the backstory. Then why does Naughty Dog feel the emphasis to like try to shove this huge story into like a, you know, 90 minutes to 2 hours type of story?
Yeah,
it's super difficult because one of the cool things about The Last of Us is the stealth elements, the idea that like you are overwhelmed by these people, and then you can kind of like, which is really cool, I think it's a really cool thing, like you could do the you can see through wall type of thing, you can see where people are at, you know.
Focus your listening
right. And I thought that was a really cool element. I've always been kind of compelled to those stealth type of games because it's an interesting element, I feel.
Mm-hmm. I had a similar conversation in terms of stretching things out about World War Z, because I loved...
Oh, my God, yes.
I loved that book. I listened to the audiobook, and it's one of the best things I've ever heard. And the film was okay, in my mind. It was like...
I haven't seen the film. I've read the book, and the reason I read it was because Tim Ryder, my old roommate, mm-hmm. he was reading it. And so I started reading the guidebook, the zombie guidebook, and it was really great. So World War Z, and I was just fascinated by, like, because each chapter, its own little thing, but it does such a great job of, like, doing, like, this could happen. This could be the reality of how things happen across the world, you know.
Yeah, like taking into account like political borders and stuff like that. Like yeah, it's very fascinating.
The chapter about how, it wasn't, you know, India and Pakistan, it was for whatever reason Iran and Pakistan.
Yes,
and it was
right.
Like, wow, no one thought about that type of a thing. And it's just really cool. And I thought, yes, that
like an HBO miniseries.
What better book would have been, you know, so easily transferred into a miniseries where each episode is that one of those chapters.
Yeah.
And with the ability to like, all right, Max Brooks, we're going to hire some really awesome, you know, TV writers and, for chapters that you didn't have time to fill out, or let's create new things to fill in World War Z, I thought would have been fantastic.
Like the whole, cause they don't cover this in the film, the whole, part about taking back America from the zombies was really like moving. It's like, it's a silly thing to get moved by. It was really powerful. And I would have loved to have seen that, but
yeah. I mean, there's just so many aspects of it that, would have been really cool. And I think, I feel like that's part of the reason I've been watching, The Walking Dead. I haven't seen this last season, but up to the first three, I was like, kind of hoping that they would take on elements of World War Z or the zombie handbook, you know, like when the sheriff meets that crazy guy who's got all those contraptions and those traps for the zombies.
So that's
the only time I felt like, someone's actually like maybe like reading the zombie handbook about like helpful ways to trap zombies and to like keep yourself safe.
Right. I'm trying to think of other... I'm trying to think if we have any recommendations for John.
Oh, things to watch.
Have you watched the Mass Effect series?
No.
Games? Those are really good.
Yeah, and the Uncharted games.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, I think you'd dig those, especially because it's Naughty Dog who did Last of Us.
Okay.
Yeah. And listeners, if you have any recommendations for what John Forsythe should play...
Yeah,
We have a number.
We do. We have a phone number. I forgot.
405-JAW-NERD. JAWNERD. That's the Nerdalogs podcast voicemail. Yeah, that's right. The thing. You can just leave us a message with the suggestions and stuff.
That'd be really cool. Yeah, because when I got invited to do this, I was like, oh man, this is going to be the shortest podcast ever. It's like, so you play games? Nope. All right, thanks for coming.
yeah, that's how we usually.
Yeah.
Don't play your games, huh? Well, just go fuck yourself.
Right. We've had shorter, and we've had people that we've needed to rein in.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's. I think it's just fascinating watching games and stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Well, it shows that it doesn't have to be you necessarily playing it to feel the tension of the gameplay and the mechanics. You really can enjoy vicariously if you understand like. How these things work,
right.
Then you can kind of enjoy someone else going through it just as much as
I was thinking about like why I enjoyed it so much, and I almost kind of did that growing up. My friend Sean and I would play Mario Brothers back in the day, and I subscribed to the
Nintendo Power,
yeah. and so when Super Brothers 3 came out. I was a navigator. I'd have that book. I'd be opening up the pages to all the different, like, I'd be the navigator. He'd be the pilot. He'd be on the controller doing the stuff. I remembered it wrong. That was for Super Mario Bros. 2. Super Mario Bros. 3 was the only time it was flipped where I actually was the controller. So that's the only time I actually was, like, controlling things.
Oh, that's great.
But that was, like, I watched, Mega Man and Contra is the only time we played together, I think.
Gotta play together. One man can't be Contra.
Come on.
or the non-licensed alien game.
Oh, yes. I heard about that. I've seen a video on that one.
Because, like, by the time you get done with the end of Contra, like, these look a lot like facehuggers and aliens. Wait, that's alien. That's the boss of Alien, right? Yeah. This is aliens, right? Do they call it Contra? Okay. This is interesting.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I'd definitely say if you're into watching games, awesome. Otherwise, my rule of thumb is if I'm not gonna buy a game, I'll just watch it. Why would I? You know.
Yeah.
Saves me the time. John, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
Is there anything you want to plug while you're not on the show?
I'm on the Real World. I do a felt show. It's an improvised puppet show at I.O. Every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. It's super fun.
I thought you were saying you're on the Real World this season. I was like, what? How is this just coming up now?
What John was saying was that this isn't the Real World.
Right now, this is all internet world.
Right now, you're on your phone listening to something in a virtual world where Clayton and Tim exist in your head.
We're huge celebrities.
Yeah,
huge
much celebrities. Handsomer versions of ourselves.
Right. I can't imagine myself being on the Real World at my age right now. That'd be crazy.
Everybody go to bed.
What the fuck are you doing?
Shut up.
Making bad choices.
Anything you want to plug?
There's another hijink show in April. Come check that out. What's the day? Oh, it's a Wednesday at 8, which is something new we're trying
hijinks?
Out. Yeah.
Oh.
So a little bit different. If I remember correctly, it's on the 22nd of
going
April.
Going after Carl the Passion.
That's, oh man, yeah. Watch out, free show, coming after you. That's April 23rd, excuse me, at 8 o'clock. And also late 90s, Big Yellow Bus, every week at different times. Come check those out.
There you go. as for me, I don't know my schedule right now. Shock Tees, we have a website. Go to that. That's all I'm doing right now.
Awesome. Great work, Tim. Great work unplugged, as always.
John, thank you so much for being on the show.
No problem.
Clayton, take us out with one of your catchphrases.
I got the poops.
Bye, everybody.
This has been a Nerdalogs production. For more on the Nerdalogs and our shows, please go to www.nerdalogs.com.
Thank you all. I am GrabBot23548X.